Live today as what you can be today with the Lord. He is a restorer.
Yes.
We all go through dormancy. Any part of you might have a job, but maybe you got kind of dormant in it. You're so sick and tired of the job that you have. But you thank God you got it because it's putting food on your table, right? Amen. Restoring. Looking at the things that we have and not what we could have, and put it that way. What we used to have. And most people in life, they want a paycheck, but they don't want to work. Yeah. Get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. And when you're working, you realize, man, what am I? Oh, I'm so tired. But you remember what comes from payday. How you provide for yourself and your family. That keeps you going. As God in our life, as we see more of you, God, and He starts wanting us to surrender more of ourselves to Him, we might get to the point, come on, man, I gave you. I'm not near as bad as I used to be. Because, yeah, but I got more for you. And we recognize at that moment, it's no longer about us. It's about others. Amen. That helps us overcome things, you know. We all can abuse ourselves, right? We can, I know I shouldn't. But man, when we focus on other people, it gives us the strength. You know, if you say, well, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock and I'm going to pray for myself, I'll have strength and be able to overcome anything that comes my way. And the alarm goes off at 1 minute till 6. You roll over, what you do? You slap that alarm. I'll do it at 7. I'll do it at 8. But if you have that alarm set specifically because you know at 6:15, Starkey would be doing this, and I want to get up and pray before he does this, whether it be appointments, speaking, preaching. When the focus is on others, you find yourself being more encouraged and more energetic to do what we should do. More of you, Lord, and less of me. Then you find yourself, while you're already up there praying for Starkey, might as well throw in a few prayers for yourself, right? And just allowing Him to continue to transform us into His image. And we have a heart for that. God will do that. Again, doesn't matter where you've been. It's where we're going and the desires of our heart. Amen? So tomorrow morning, he gets up really early. Everybody call Kenny at 4 o'clock. Say, hey, listen, no cream sticks today. You know? Amen. Praise God. But I'd like to take a couple minutes here and honor our veterans today. And thank you guys for your service. Now, and again, I talked to some veterans who were in the middle of the war. Other veterans. Oops. I want a new car. Okay. And some say, yeah, but you know, I didn't serve during the war. Okay. Well, I want to describe something. I'm going to pick on two people today just for a moment, okay? Brother Joe, can you come down just for a second? I just want to do a quick illustration. And Corey, can I borrow you for a second? You guys just stand there and say, I just want to try to give an insight here. Now, one thing, Corey has been working at the meat plant now, and he's getting stronger all the time. I'm telling you what, he's still around 40, 50 pound pieces of bacon, right? Okay. But if you can't get a great big dinner bucket, you can put one of them in there for me, will you? Okay? And Brother Joe. Now, just by looking, if you want to start a fight, who would you fight with? Okay. He'd really be.
Faster, he's old.
I'm not in this equation. But what we're trying to show to our veterans here today, those who serve during peacetime, praise God, it's because of your service that we had a peacetime. Right. Understand? It's the strength that kept people from coming over here and slapping us. You know, the strength. Be insane to take Joe on that day. Amen?
Yep, right.
Now, you might take on Corey, but I think he surprised you. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So as you served in the military, guys and ladies, you made the strength so great that people did not come against us. Amen? And then for those of summer stature, you have served during a time of war. And coming together with other slimmer statues, you become mighty in strength.
Amen.
And defeat the enemy. So whether you served in peacetime or on the battlefield, you are worthy to be honored for your service to our nation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a seat. But then we have a tradition here at SCA that every year our veterans, we give a $20 gift certificate to Bob Evans. Bob Evans is still an American-owned company. And I know right now, I don't really want to go to a restaurant to eat. They have fantastic to-go service. You can call ahead of time and even just get there. You can text them. They come out and bring the food to you. And we have one lady in the veterans organization. So Stella, you're going to be our first one here. Here's your $20 gift certificate. And could you tell us where you served, what time you served? And
I served 69-70. I was in the Army Signal Corps. I worked at Fort Meade, Maryland. Of course, I trained at Fort McClellan and Fort Gordon before going there. I was in Signal Corps. We would send messages back and forth. I worked in a top secret security agency.
Wow.
Underground in Fort Meade, Maryland.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, well, you go down three stories to get there.
Oh, my land.
Yeah. Because it was right outside Washington, D.C. That was also during the 60s when they were having a lot of unrest because of the Vietnam War. So
it wasn't very popular to back then, was it, at times?
No, it wasn't. Sometimes you're afraid to wear your uniform.
I know. That's
and there were times when we were told not to go into Washington or Baltimore because of the... It was violent like now in some places.
Hmm.
You remember Kent State? I had a friend who was there.
Yes.
You know, during... And, you know, so it was a lot like now. Hmm. But, you know, we did what we thought we had to do. Sometimes I found out things I didn't like. I'm not surprised that the government's corrupt. I'm not. Because I knew some secrets then.
So maybe Grandma Powell knew it before back then when he goes, surprise, surprise, surprise. But, Well, we appreciate
it's
your service.
Upsetting.
I know. It's just. But thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
And this is no certain order. Yeah, we can apply this. Yeah. Next one is Kenny.
I was stationed in the Navy 1974 to 1976. I was stationed aboard the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, and she was the first of her class, and at the time it was the world's largest warship, and the aircraft carriers now that are designed is after the Nimitz class, and I was part of the original crew, and I'm a plank owner, and my job was in the engine room. We made the ship's water, the ship's electricity, the ship's steam, and we made the ship go. And,
wow.
That's what I did. I was on it for shakedown crews and stuff and got it battle ready and everything before I got off of it. And it's something to see. Gerald Ford was the one that commissioned the ship.
Mm.
And it's funny, 2 years ago, the new class of aircraft carriers came out, and it was a Gerald Ford is the first of his class, and President Trump commissioned it.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. So, yep, that's what I did.
Well, thank you for your service, Kenny. Make sure I give you that. I might give you myself. Brother Joe?
Uh-huh. Joe Clendenin, United States Marine Corps Infantry, and I spent a lot of time hiking through the mountains of Camp Pendleton.
Oh, wow. What years did you serve, Joe?
87 to 95.
87 to 95. Oh, my last. Thank you for your service. Do you still do hiking today? Oh, I ought to give you your certificate for dinner, huh? Let's see, we got next one in line here is Bob Clark. Bob, thank you for your service.
Yep.
If you can share with us.
I graduated from high school in 1945. I enlisted in the Army January the 16th of 6. And then I had to, in the Army, I had to go overseas, and I guarded Japanese prisoners of war on the islands of Guam and Saipan.
Oh, my land. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Now, when you went to Saipan, and did you go by boat or
by boat?
By boat. Okay. How long did it take you to get there? A while?
Yeah,
a couple of weeks to get there. If you waited 40 years later, Kenny probably got you there a lot quicker. You know? Yeah, amen. Well, thank you for your service. See, Saipan, well, was there? I tell you, my dad was at Saipan. And he was at Iwo Jima, some other places. Yep. Bruce! Are you your brother?
Bruce Fletcher. I served 1971 to 74. I was 17 years old. Almost went to Vietnam. It was during the Vietnam War, toward the end of the Vietnam War, and thank God it didn't go. I was only 17 years old, but yeah, it was quite an experience for me. I grew up quick, didn't have much of a teenager years, but I learned a lot of responsibility and all that, but it was a good time. I must tell them I spent 2.5 years in Germany.
Wow.
Went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky after boot camp, and then to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, where I boxed for the battalion. That's where I got my big old nose. It was quite an experience. And I was in an it was the first or the second field artillery is what I was in. So if I would have went to Vietnam, I wouldn't have been on the front lines. I would have been with a tank unit, the M109 howitzers, about 6 to 10 miles away from the front line. But it was a good experience for me, and it helped me out a lot.
Thank you, Brother Bruce.
Amen.
And Ryan.
Well, I was in the United States Army Military Police. I joined in 2000 when I was 17 years old. I was 5'9" and 130 pounds. I served for 8 years, got out in 2008, and when I got out, I was 6'1", 185, 190. So I had a little growth spurt. went overseas in 2003 during the Iraq War, spent about a year. Yeah, well, everyone knows that the bonds that you form during those years, no matter how long it is, are never even broken. You always, I don't know, it's odd how time keeps moving forward, but yet there's part of you that it never really leaves. And it just reminds me of what we're doing here today. These times that we're all in today, the bonds that we have together, they won't be broken. And now we're in an even greater military. We're in Jesus' army.
Amen.
When we joined the military, we all, none of us ever joined because of us. We all have the end goal in mind. And that's exactly what we're doing here today. When you join Jesus' army, you don't have anything in mind for yourself. It's all in the end game, and it's Him. He is the end game.
So. Amen. Amen. Thank you, son. It's a sacrifice all you guys made for us, you know. And that's what we do today for others. Follow Jesus. Amen. Now, we also present certificates to ladies or and gentlemen, if it be who husband or wife served in the military and have passed on. And I know one here today, Vicky. Anyone else here present today that their husband or wife served in the military who has passed on? Okay. Vicky? $20 gift card. Bob, they have a vegetation plate, vegetarian. But could you share what you would know about Steve? I mean, what area he served in? Or
I just went blank.
You went blank. Okay.
He served in the Army. He never had to go across the pond.
Uh-huh.
I know he was stationed down in South Carolina, and honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
putting on the spot.
I've got his papers, I've got his flag, but I don't know, but I know he served well.
Amen. Yes, amen. Protected our country. Amen. And I just pray that our nation will continue to recognize how valuable our veterans are. You know, a sacrifice that you've done. And each veteran, and if you've been in law enforcement or any aspect of life where you took an oath, that oath to defend our nation never stops. You might be out of uniform, but you're never out of country. It's still part of us, you know. And I believe the same way as we take an oath of Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. Sometimes we might make it in the fellowship, but allegiance to Jesus is wherever we go. We live for Him. I want to share one scripture this morning. Well, one passage. Just what the Lord had laid up on my heart this morning. And we're going back into the book of Numbers for a moment. Old Testament.
What's that?
Be math involved? Yes, there was math involved. I had it highlighted better over here. Yeah, I'll be all right. But the 13th chapter of Numbers, verse 1, and I'll read the scripture, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase. But we're going back to where God's people was in bondage in Egypt. Remember they cried out to God, rescue us, help us. And God raised a man called Moses up. And first of all, when Moses came to the people after he tried to get God to find somebody else, Moses came to the people and said, listen, I come to deliver you in the name of Jehovah. And they didn't want him to do it because he wasn't good enough. He had a background nobody liked, you know. But God, through His mercy, instead of turning His back on the people that had cried out to Him, allowed Moses to show the signs and come with the leprosy, put his hand in his pocket, and pulled it out of his leprosy, and put it back in, and came out, and it was gone. So, throughout several plagues, God showed to His people how powerful He is. That there's nothing impossible with God. At the same time, He was shown to the world, hey, listen, I'm Jehovah, I'm God. Even though the hearts were cold, He still continued on. To the point where Pharaoh released God's people. Y'all remember about Passover? Okay. People were excited. Woo-hoo! Being released. Yes. And they grabbed the silver and the gold and all the stuff that Egypt had, and they had several million of them, had all these pack animals, like you see it. Camels are probably dragging their bellies, got so much gold and stuff in it. People are just smiling, that, wow, yes, we're headed out of here, man. We are going to the promised land, woo, milk and honey. Oh, man, we're headed this way. God rescue us. A little bit into the journey, Pharaoh realized what he did. He changed his mind. He got his army and said, go after them. Well, they're going after God's people as they come into contact with a thing called the Red Sea. Woo! And what did they start doing? Complaining. Man, supposed to rescue us, supposed to get us out of here. And we're going to get this Red Sea. We should have stayed back here in Egypt. At least we would have fed us. ready to overthrow this man of God. But God still had mercy on his people. And Moses raised up his staff by the word of God, the Red Sea parted. Woo-hoo! Excited again. Yeah, that's our God, man. That is our God. And here comes power. Boom, 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 boom. And the chariots, you know, the tires are falling off of it. God's people gets across this dry land. And the same thing that God used to rescue us, he used it to destroy the enemies. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Now where are we going to go? We're off to the promised land. We're going to the land of Goshen, aren't we? Canaan land! Woo-hoo! Man, we hear there's a place where the milk is flowing. And there's honey. Oh. So here we go. We just got caught up what I want to share with you, okay? Chapter 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men, so they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. He shall send a man from each of the tribes." So, it's going to stop there. Is God a liar?
No.
No. So let's read that again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men, so they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel." Wow. I'm going to give you this land. So he picked 12 people, one of each tribe, like God said, and sent them in, and they went in the land of Canaan for 40 days, eyeballing, watching them from the distance. Man, look at stuff. And two of the fellows who went, his name's going to be Caleb. And who's the other one? Joshua. All 12 are looking at the same thing. They come back out. Verse 25 now. When they return from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. I mean, they got grapes the size of basketballs, you know. It's just amazing. I mean, the milk, I imagine the cows probably, it took a barrel to milk them with probably, you know, for another. Showed that to them. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negeb, and the Hittites, and the Jeshurites, and the Amorites, and all them tites were living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Wow. It's there, but man, it's fortified. Then Caleb, he stood up before the people and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will overcome it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size." And they didn't go. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb said, "Listen, man, we can do this. We can go." And the other 10 said, "You can't go." And they presented to the congregation. So I ask you today, who are you going to go with? You got 12 of them, give them testimony. 10 are saying, "Man, it's awesome. The land's there. The grapes are there. It's flowing just like God said it was. But man, they are too big. We need to stay away." And the other 2 are saying, "Hey man, it's awesome. Let's go get them." Let's go back to the beginning. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let me read it again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourselves men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel." I am giving to the sons of Israel. Then he said, maybe you could have it. I am giving it to you. So Caleb and Joshua came back, looking at what God has given them. Yes, we got this. Why? Because God's got our back. He already said, I'm giving it to you. But the other ten said, wait, our God isn't big enough. We're too scared to go. We better leave that alone. And you know what happened? Because they took the report, 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. See, they thought, if God's going to give it to us, oh, here. Yep, there's a deed. Get out. No, God said, I will go with you wherever you go. These giants will fall to you. God had a plan. Well, why didn't he tell them up front that he had behind the big rock there, he had bazookas and M14s, and he had what do you guys call them? Helicopter things, Apache's helicopters. Why didn't God say he had all that? Because he didn't need to tell them that. They just needed faith in his word to believe him. Hey, God said, we got it. Let's go, man. Let's go. You're nuts, Caleb, Joshua. No, I'm not nuts. I trust God. You think God brought us this far to turn us back? But man, and they told the congregation, they put fear into the congregation. If more people would have said, wait a second. God's not a liar. He said he's giving it to us. Well, yeah, but it's not now. He's going to give it to us, but he meant to take a look at it, and then years on down the road, you can have that. Did he say that? No. If other people would have stood up and said, wait, he said it's ours, let's go get it. Look how that would have affected the lives of millions of people. Of all those who left Egypt that God rescued out, only two of the original people crossed over. Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they believed the report of the Lord. Look at the influence. Not standing in belief on the word of God. It had on the other lives of people. There's 12 of them. Just 12 people. 10 of them voices were so loud, it influenced the destinies of millions of people. They missed the promised land.
Is Caleb Aaron's son?
No. Now, the question would be is this. Here we are today, in the middle of this chaos that we have. Whose report are we going to believe? Because look at this. As we enter this past week, yes, here we go. We've been gearing up for this. God be God. Amen. Woo! Yes. And now you find yourself, wait, what's going on? The prophecy says that, yes, Trump will have a second, he'll have a second term. How many are getting weak? Look what has showed us over the last several days. When we say, and God says to us, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from the wicked way and pray, I will hear in heaven, and I will what? I will heal the land. What did he say? Did he say, I will heal your land? Or did he say, I will put a band-aid on your land? Did he not say, heal your land? Amen? Heal your land? Do you want a band-aid? Or do you want a healing? And what he is doing, he is going down and rooting out and showing the things of the enemy. This enemy, this evil, is far beyond the reach of America. It is, to me, it reminds me of Israel. All the folks who hate Israel coming against them, They can't be touched because of the hand of God.
Amen.
And so we say, God, heal our land. Why do we want to heal our land? Is it about us? Or is it about others? Or is it about the generations coming behind us? Are we still standing in the gap and continuing to bind this evil and let it be exposed? Are we willing to be persecuted and made fun of and tormented? Could we still stand on the Word of God? Did He not say, if my people who are called by my name, did He not say that? Do you really believe the report of the Lord? Do you believe His heart to you? My question is, where is our heart today? Have we? How we turn from our wicked ways? Is there still more processing God is doing? We're like olives in a press right now. Okay, a little bit more juice. Come on. How many people are praying different today than back in March when we said, hey, listen, if my people will call by my name, will seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. How many people are different today than you was back in March? Anybody here? I got anybody got a witness here? Anybody here that God has showed you more of your heart? The stinking stuff that we kept in there and we said, oh God, forgive us, heal our land. And we stayed in the same ugliness thinking it's all the other people's fault? How many of us pointed the finger toward Washington? How many pointed the finger to the Democratic Party? How many blamed everybody else than ourselves?
Amen.
God is purifying His people. Rejoice that you're different today than you was in March. You continue to seek the face of God. He'll continue to squish us. Is it not worth us being squished? For those who come behind us? Or are we like those looking at the promised land? It was the other generation that went into the promised land. And next thing you know, you had what? You had the battle of Jericho. They had to fight their fights. But look where the difference could have been from the beginning. And folks, God isn't done yet. I pray that you're not done with God. I pray at this hour of our nation, this nation is founded on the principles of freedom of religion. We came here to worship God. It was established clear back here with the pilgrims. That is still our foundation here in America. We cannot be weakened with what we see. Yes, expose it, Lord, expose it. Go deeper, Lord, go deeper. Oh, it's ugly, it's scary. See how wow. How did this take place? 1 inch at a time. It got this way over decades. Decades of compromise. Decades of us not taking on the enemy. Of being placent. Of saying, okay, I'm okay. We focus more on ourselves. Instead of those around us, me, I need this. How many was here last week? We showed the video of the voice of the martyr lady over there being shot, put to death because of Jesus. Did that motivate anybody this week to pray? God intercede in all the stuff we're going through, all the stuff our country going through. Did it motivate you to get on your knees and pray, God intervene, touch my brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted, put to death? God, get strengthened. What do I have, God? Use it. Do we shut the door and say, oh, I'm not over there? The heart of God will cause us to cry out. To cry. To pray. To intercede. And do what we can for Him. Let Him continue to get into your heart. And clean it and motivate you. If your heart's getting hard, cry out, God, I don't have it. Why don't I have this desire? Give it to me. I'm telling you what, He'll bring it to you. Because your prayers are very powerful. We fight our battles on our knees.
Amen.
Don't lose heart. When God gave you and me a promise that He'll heal the land, heal it. Return to Him. Just watch God. Watch God, that He shall be glorified.
Amen.
They will know there's a hand upon the United States of America, and that hand is Jehovah.
Amen.
He's a God to be reckoned with. He's a God to be feared. He's a God to be worshipped.
Amen.
He is Jehovah. And He'll show that to the world. And through that, eyes will be open. People will recognize the deception the enemy brought to them. And when they turn to us, who've been preaching the truth and living the life of Christ, they turn to us, may we embrace them. Come! Come! Come out of darkness! Come unto the light! I've been there, brother! Welcome! May your heart not be cold. Oh, now you're going to come get on a bandwagon. No. Rejoice. Rejoice when one sinner turned from the wicked way to receive Jesus. So guys, it's not over with yet. Watch God move in the United States and around the world. God has a lot He's going to accomplish through us. Just keep the faith. If you're getting scared, getting weary, call one another during the week. Hey, come on, pray. I just saw it on TV. Remind me. Folks, that's what we do. Veterans, then you call upon one another. You have I think they call them battle buddies.
We got friends on Facebook. I do anyway.
Well, no, I'm talking about when you were in the service, you had a battle buddy. You had somebody there somewhere that you stuck with. They watch your back, you watch his back. You know what I'm saying? You had that battle buddy. And that's the same way here as Christians. We have battle buddies. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters. Hey, watch my back. I'm getting weak today. Man, I just saw it came out in the news. Come on, speak to me. And man, we bring that scripture out. Speaking, God's in charge. You turn your light to Him. Trust in Him. You see the enemy raised? Bind that spirit of deception. Pray for strength. For the truth. And then when the truth comes out, rejoice in the hand of God of deliverance.
Amen.
But then let's go to reconcile. Let's bring those who have been deceived, man. Let's reach out to them and bring them into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. God ain't down with you yet. Thank God He's not. But God's desire, the bottom line is that no one would perish. And we have to make sure our heart is that way. When we see these deceptions and we see the lies and all this, man, they're headed to hell without God. And it takes a lot of praying to have our hearts soft enough to intercede that way too, you know. But we're all sinners needing God's grace. Amen. So may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may you walk with confidence that your God is in control as you're surrendered through Jesus. And He'll purpose the things that He wants. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you again to the veterans. Yeah.